6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Hundreds of people lined up today in Austin to oppose a so-called bathroom bill. The measure would require transgender people to use public restrooms corresponding to the gender on their birth certificates. The Senate State Affairs Committee heard arguments on the bill for several hours. Despite the opposition, the Republican-led committee wants to approve the bill as soon as possible and set up Senate passage. The bill is being advanced during a special session that's underway. All this week, we've partnered with public radio stations across Texas to answer your questions about the special session. We wrap up our Texas Decide series with a look at how our state representatives are paid. Houston Public Media's Jen Rice reports.
Before today's listener question, here's one for you. Do you know how much Texas lawmakers get paid? Would you believe it's $600 per month? When Tyson from Austin first learned that, he was surprised.
My question is, why is it legal for state legislators to not get paid a living wage? It seems like built-in class discrimination where you have to be rich in order to do it.
Some background. Members of the U.S. Congress all have the same base salary, but for state lawmakers, the pay can be wildly different. In Texas, there's a long tradition of the citizen legislature. Basically, lawmaking isn't supposed to be a full-time job.
The Texas Constitution addresses both legislators' salary and per diem payments during a legislative session.
Judge Katie Kennedy is a Houstonian who serves on the state's Ethics Commission.
That's Article 3, Section 24 and 24A of the Texas Constitution.
So it's legal because it's in the state's constitution. $600 a month may not pay the bills, but in Texas, it's not supposed to. Compare that to California. There, the state legislature works full-time all year, every year, and the lawmakers make $104,000 annually. But in New Hampshire, they've been paying their lawmakers just $100 a year since 1889. That's why voters in California may expect more from their legislators than folks do in New Hampshire. In Texas, we're in the middle. What we expect from lawmakers isn't as clear. As Tyson's question points out, not everyone can afford to be a Texas lawmaker. Houston Democrat Sinfronia Thompson was a public school teacher before she was elected to the Texas House. But she had some help.
I was married. I had a husband.
Thompson says yes, more people would run for office in Texas if they had the money, but don't expect changes anytime soon.
The support is not there because the majority of people that I work with, they don't need a salary increase.
When the legislature is in session, lawmakers also get a per diem of $190 a day to pay for their expenses, like if they need to rent an apartment while they're in Austin. Sarah Davis is a Republican representing Houston's District 134 in the House. She says the per diem is important, but
if I were designing the system, I probably wouldn't even give the legislators $7,200 a year because I really believe that it is about community service.
Davis says being a lawmaker should be a sacrifice, and if people were paid higher salaries, they might be there for the wrong reasons. Still, she admits it's expensive.
We say we're a part-time legislature, but I literally have to take 6 months out of my job to go to Austin.
Some representatives point out Texas is better off having perspectives from all sorts of professionals on the floor. Leticia Vandepute represented part of San Antonio for almost 25 years, first in the House, then in the Senate. She says, take for instance,
Senator Donna Campbell. She'll work a 24-hour shift and come off and come to the Capitol, change out of her scrubs and put on high heels and a dress and go to the Senate floor.
Vandepute says most reps can't put their primary jobs on hold. When Vandepute first ran for office in 1991, she was a pharmacist with her own business and six kids under the age of 10.
Our family calculated that every time we had a legislative session, it would cost our family, you know, around $50,000 or more because I wasn't working.
Even when they're not in session, lawmakers are expected to juggle committee hearings, interim reports, constituent services, plus a constant parade of parades. So this is where we get back to our question asker, Tyson. Katie Kennedy, who serves on the Ethics Commission, says state lawmakers can't change how much they make. That request would have to come from a member of the public.
Well, they would have to come to the Texas Ethics Commission, which they're welcome to do. We have open meetings. They can ask to speak at our meetings and put that idea forward.
From there, the commission could make a recommendation, and then it would go to the voters. So Tyson, if you're listening, the next meeting of the Ethics Commission is in September. From Houston, I'm Jen Rice.
a painting exhibition valued at $1 billion. That's a far cry from when Michael Opping started in art museums 40 years ago. Opping, the longtime chief curator of the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth, retired recently. He curated some of the modern's landmark shows, including the first Texas exhibition of British painter Lucian Freud. For this week's State of the Arts, Opping sat down with Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks to reflect on big pressures he sees in today's museum world.
Michael Opping, welcome.
Thank you.
In your 24 years at the Modern Art Museum, you helped establish it as a path-breaking museum in contemporary art. But over your entire 40-year career as a curator, that world of art museums has changed substantially. What changes have you seen?
Well, it's been gradual, and now the museum world barely resembles the world that I entered 40 years ago. There's more artists, there's more art, there are more collectors, there's more money involved. It's just more of everything, and it's a lot to juggle. Bottom line is, today, even in the museum world, it's partially market-driven, which doesn't have to be bad because the market is sometimes right about what's good and what is bad. But the galleries that sell art now have budgets bigger than a lot of contemporary art museums.
So museums are having to compete with a high-rolling art market. But isn't it also true that today's artists are much more involved online? They're savvier about popular culture. They're gaining wider exposure for their art and for museums as part of the entertainment industry.
Now, that's something we all wanted to happen, but it's a classic case of be careful what you wish for. Because when you're part of the entertainment industry, it means you're on go constantly. You've got to always be upping the ante, just like the movie theaters. The money involved is incredible. The Lucian Freud show I did, the insurance value on that show was $1 billion.
Wow.
To insure a $1 billion exhibition for 3 months in the state of Texas costs about $1.4 million. And that's not including the transportation of these works, the couriers that have to be hired to bring them. So we're looking at a show that could cost $3 million. To put up a show that costs $3 million, you need to get some people through those doors. And so there are pressures on curators and on directors and boards of trustees to bring people into the museum. It makes an old man like me just feel tired. You know, at some point you just can't be on that treadmill. You know, we keep wondering when the art market will top out, and it hasn't done it.
Dave Hickey, the great art critic, said that he no longer will write about the art market. He's tired of it. But you're saying these days it's pretty much inextricable.
It is. I mean, they're all connected, and you have to be able to sort it out in your mind, just in terms of what's really important to do, not just what Collector X and Collector Y are buying. You don't do a show for those reasons. You do a show because you think it's important to do. An artist has been neglected, or a great artist has not been shown for a long period of time. You know, when you get to younger artists, it gets a little trickier because so much money and so much attention is thrown at some of these younger artists that are coming out of Yale or CalArts or Columbia. They come out of the chute a hot commodity. And so a curator has to really look very carefully and say, now, which of these people truly needs to be shown in a museum?
Well, Michael Opping, thank you very much, and good luck with your retirement.
Thank you very much. It's been great. Fort Worth is a very, very special place. I feel privileged to have lived there for 24 years.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Jerome.
Listen to more of Michael Opping's thoughts on his years as chief curator at the Fort Worth Modern at artandseek.org. A heat advisory remains in effect for Dallas-Fort Worth and much of North Texas through tomorrow night. The National Weather Service says heat index values could exceed 105 degrees. Tonight, a low of 80 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll hit 100. Right now, it's 98 in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.